Well, good morning. Man, it's great to see you, and thank you, Leslie, for doing our verse of the week. And I hope that as we've been doing this for the past probably a couple months, this continual scripture, getting these scriptures, and, you know, I was listening to a sermon yesterday with Jamie in the car, and one of the things that she was talking about is, you know, we read so many scriptures. A lot of times we'll read a lot of scriptures in the Bible, but we won't really remember and hold on to those that book or that chapter for a long period of time. And so one of the things that she talked about was just having that one verse, just indwelled in your everywhere you go, and just thinking about it, whether it's in your car, whether it's while you're getting into the shower, whether you're brushing your teeth or having breakfast, put one card and meditate on that one verse over and over and over. So pick out a verse, or if it's the verse of the week, when I'm picking these verses out and I'm thinking about them and stuff, I really truly hope that it would be something encouraging for you. And obviously, as we sang about so many of these songs, you probably saw an underlying theme of possibly what this message could be about. You know, I am now at the 20th week in the book of Acts. And it's also my final week that I'll be sharing the book of Acts. Now, I didn't go through the whole entire book, but I went through 20 weeks worth. And picking some of the most encouraging. Now, I didn't pick all the amazing miracles. I didn't pick out particular ones that covered every single particular person or maybe a story, even maybe that you remember the most. But I picked out 20 or 19 so far, but my 20th one of what I think really captures the book of Acts, the ongoing living word of God that is still alive in us today. We are living out the book of Acts. This book is continuing going, and it will go until the day that Jesus actually returns. We are living out the book of Acts. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I would like to share, selfishly, I would like to share my lesson that I have learned through the book of Acts. Of all the things that I taught on, and the things that really speak to me the most out of this book, I want to share with you this morning. And my prayer is that it will encourage you as much as it has encouraged me. So what is the one lesson? What is the one lesson I would like for you to take with you today? The book of Acts has taught me not to fear anything or anyone, but to fear the Lord only. But to fear the Lord only. First of all, the whole idea of fearing the Lord is probably one of the most misinterpreted part of scriptures that people do not get. Now, could we fear the Lord in the way that I'm actually saying? Absolutely. I mean, He's an almighty God. He's a just God. There will be a day of judgment. It talks about that. But in this particular verse, and in this particular context, we are to fear the Lord in the right way. Now, I think about a lot of other verses or maybe other things that people have passed down. And see if some of these sound familiar to you as well. That may be either misinterpreted, or maybe you have caught yourself saying these things, and maybe we've wondered, are they all in the Bible? Is everything that we hear always biblical? And there are things that I have said and on this list as well. Like, for example, God helps those who help themselves. How many of you guys have heard that? God helps those who help themselves. Not in the Bible, by the way. It's not. It's not in the Bible. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Anyone heard that? Anyone said that? It's okay. Raise your hand. It's not in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Anyone ever say that? It's not in the Bible. Spare the rod and spoil the child. It's not in the Bible. It's misquoted. Money is the root of all evil. not in the Bible, not in that context. Money is the root of all kinds of evil. But money and the love of money. And the fact is that money can be a really true blessing to a lot of great things. But when your heart and your treasure is your money, well, then that could develop into some problems. Here is in the scripture. For he is a holy God and is a jealous God, taken from Exodus 34:14. For he is a holy God and it is a jealous God. That's in the scripture. Exodus 34:14. Not to worship any other gods, for he is a holy God and is a jealous God. Oprah Winfrey, one of the richest women in the world, one of the most powerful people in the world, reaches multi-millions of people every day. At age 27, she heard a Baptist preacher share and talk about this one verse. Not to worship any other gods, for he is a holy God and is a jealous God. And she took that verse, and she only remembered that God is a jealous God. And she started to begin to think about that and wonder about that. And at age 27, that one morning with that Baptist preacher, she changed the whole course of her thinking, her whole heart, her whole doctrine and belief system on this one particular verse, and went a completely different direction, because she said, how is it that the most powerful God in the whole world could be a jealous God? Looking at it is almost like if it's a sinful thing that he was doing, which God could not sin. And it changed the whole direction of her life. And you can watch YouTube videos of it. This is, I mean, out of her mouth. You can watch it and see things for any Oprah fans. But it changed everything for her, she said. How many of you ever said, this too shall pass? Matter of fact, I was picking up a particular person, had a very, very rough, got his car towed Thursday night, 1 o'clock in the morning. He wasn't able to pay back a loan. He kept missing payments and missing payments and missing payments. And finally, he said, at 1 in the morning, he could hear the tow truck out in the garage of the apartment, and it was picking it up, and there wasn't anything he could say because he already knew it was probably coming. And then he texts me at 5:15 in the morning on Friday, which I'm never awake, by the way, at 5:15 in the morning. But I was when he texted me, and he said, I don't know who else to talk to. I don't know who else to come and get me. Would you come and get me? I have no transportation anymore. And I'll never forget, as I got closer to my school, he said this, this too shall pass. It's not in the Bible. What does it mean to fear the Lord, though? What does it mean that is in the Bible and understanding the true interpretation to fear the Lord? It's a sense of reverence. It's a sense of being in awe of God, a total respect for His awesomeness and His power. When you look at the Lord and you look at His awesomeness and His power, and you're looking at even when people have literally bowed down and saw just the shadow going by of His completeness. And He says, and people are taking off their sandals, and when they go into sanctuaries and when they go into places and they realize there's a reverence of God. There's a fear of the Lord. Is He almighty? Yes. Is He a righteous judge? Yes. Is He the one that created the heavens and the earth, the whole complete solar system? Is He the one that literally can put together all parts of the body and every single thing and creates people? Yes. He's worthy of everything. This awesome awe experience, this all-powerful experience, should encourage us each and every day to want to live in obedience, to want to live in love, to want to be able to serve others, and to worship Him only. That's what it's like to fear the Lord. To be obedient, to love, to serve, and to worship Him and Him alone. That's what it is to fear the Lord. It's His awesomeness. It's His power. Hebrews 12, 28, 29 says this, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worship Him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. Deuteronomy 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Solomon, King Solomon had everything. He had everything you could ever imagine. And he wanted, and when he comes to God and in his reverence and his fear for the Lord, and he's literally having a conversation with God. Have you ever sat there and just had a conversation with God and just asked Him, "God, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to work through this?" And maybe in your own setting, and think about how powerful and all the things that you could have asked for. And in 1 Kings 3:12, the one thing he asked for was wisdom. Wisdom. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And King Solomon asked for one of the most important things, to have wisdom. He went before the Lord. In the book of Acts, I want to share two verses with you that has moved me to title this message that we all have a sermon. We all have a sermon to preach. Now, I know fear for many, many people, and I'm not going to lie to you, most Sundays, it takes some building up, encouragement, and getting ready to come up here and to preach. See, that has been my number one fear forever, is getting in front of people. My number one fear. Number two is snakes. The number one fear that I face every single day is speaking in front of people. And God, with His funny sense of humor, puts me as a teacher and a pastor. How many of you have fears? How many of you are right now working through facing fears in your life of the unknown or to deal with certain things? Well, here's two verses I want to bring out. Acts 9, 15, 16 through 20. And why I love these two verses in the book of Acts is because here we see the Lord Jesus speak. Here is where we're going to get the opportunity where you can see in your Bible some redness. I love when you open up your Bible and you can see some red, because then you can look and say, this is where Jesus Christ, this is where God is actually speaking. This is where God and Jesus Christ is actually hands-on right now in the lives of people. And how many of you right now are looking for a little bit of red in your life, where you're listening and you're waiting for God to show up or for God to speak to you about something going on in your life, and maybe you're facing some fears, and right now all you see is a little bit of black and white. You don't see what you want to see or need to see or can see right now, and maybe He's too distant right now from you. Maybe you can't feel Him. Maybe you can't hear Him. Maybe you can't see Him. And you're looking for some red in your life. You know, I think these guys were looking for a little bit of red in their life. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he," who? Paul, the guy, the great persecutor. The great persecutor of Christians. Had just literally met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. "Go, for he," Paul, "is a chosen vessel." Yes, the great persecutor of Christians. "Is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name for the Gentile kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Pretty amazing. watch lives turn completely a 180. For I will show him. Can I just tell you that that is a verse that says that I am now hands-on? For I will speak to him. For I will tell him. For I will show him. For I will be right there with him. I'm going to do this. And a lot of times in our life, we're looking and say, well, I cannot feel God. I can't. I'm waiting for him to show me something. How many of us are even asking for wisdom like King Solomon? God, give me wisdom. Know that you're here. You are a chosen vessel as well, church. You are a chosen vessel as well. And I think about so many times when a lot of times in our life, we would rather sit in the boat docks of life. We'd rather be tied up because it's sometimes it feels a little scary out there when you're sailing. Maybe you don't know how to sail. I know for me, the first time I ever went on a boat, and on the sailboat, I had never sailed. And when you begin to sail, if you go this way, you actually go that way. When you go this way, you actually go that way. And you had to take some practice and you had to learn. And I was actually on my way to do a wedding right there. And he said, go ahead, take the wheel. And I was like, you don't want me to. You won't even make it to your wedding. But he gave me the wheel, and there I was getting the opportunity. But you know what? I would have never done that unless I ever got on the boat. I had to get on the boat, and many of us say, I'm not getting on the boat. I would rather just sit here, let it be tied down, and I'll sit here in my pews, and I will just rust to death. The motor's going to run out. The oil's going to thicken. The wood is going to come apart. The paint is coming off, and the name that God bared on that ship that I'm supposed to be sailing destinations is all coming off. But I'm telling you, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, he has painted a brand new name for you. And you're supposed to be sitting and sailing destinations all over. You're supposed to be taking people with you. Don't sit in the boat docks. Each one of us must get on. Last week, Jamie was telling me about a story of this little boy she had in kindergarten. He was sad every single day. And every time they began to try to line up, the little boy didn't want to go. He was scared because he didn't know where he was going. And this was every single day. Every day, line up, we're going to this place, but he didn't want to go. Or he was in control. He wanted to be in control. No, I don't want to go. There was always a fear that was keeping him from ever wanting to line up and to go to the next place. The reason why is because he watched people in his life that came in and left. They were in prison. He was a foster care. He didn't know what to expect. And so the unknown was getting to him each and every day. And last week, this boy, after 1 year of going through this, now in the first grade, this boy last week came walking in with this huge smile on his face. New clothes, new lunchbox, and excited to go on this field trip. He didn't even know where he was going. Matter of fact, Jamie asked, where are you going? And Jeremiah said, I don't know. I'm just going to get on the bus and see. That's pretty clever for a first grader. I don't know where I'm going. He had no idea. Mom paid for the field trip. He just knew he just got to get on and get ready. He had his new clothes, new lunchbox, everything ready to go, and he was just getting on the bus wherever it was going to take him, and he had a smile on his face. Sometimes maybe a year has gone where you have lived in fear of something, and finally, something can change. I believe that God can put that new name on you. I believe God can overcome those fears and give you peace. Where was he going? He was going to the Arboretum. He was about to experience something he's never seen before. The beauty of all that was out there waiting for him. To run around among the flowers and all that was there with his friends and be able to see something he's never seen before. See, I believe that the Lord has that for us as well. This first grader has it right. This first grader has it right to just get on the bus and see. What if we did not let fear run us? The second verse I want to share with you is this. It's the second time that Jesus speaks. In Acts 18:9, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silence. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent." The Lord is constantly, continually speaking to us, never just leaving us down here not to know what we need to know. Every time we open up the Word of God, He is speaking to us. Music can speak to us. People can speak to us. Circumstances can speak to us. We just have to stop and realize, and my favorite verse, and we shared it during Sunday school, is be still and know that He's God. He is here to speak to us. He has not just left us down here and not understood what we need to be doing. Jeremiah 29, He has a plan and a purpose for our life. He has a hope, a future for us. Can I ask you though, church, is there something that's holding you back from doing what the Lord is asking you to do? Is there something that's holding you back to say what you need to say? Is there something that's holding you back to do the things He's telling you to do? We hold on to things so tightly because we want to be in control. And we got to be willing to let go. Fear can be so contagious. We see it all the time in the workplaces. We see it around in the world that when one person begins to fear, or a spouse begins to fear, or children begin to fear, or when the parents begin to fear, when the church begins to fear, when the world begins to fear, it becomes contagious. You remember it, 2017, with Hurricane Harvey. You couldn't even get gas without waiting in line for 30 cars in front of you. Every gas station was filled up. There wasn't a shortage of gas. There was a shortage of faith. That's what was going on. One person, a post after post after post, and the 5 o'clock news and the 10 o'clock news got everybody out and scared, and it got contagious, and the disease spread like wildfire. And guess what? Guess where I was at 8:15? Same place you were. Fear can immobilize us. It can freeze us. Sometimes it can make us absolutely do nothing. When God is saying, it's time to get up. I think about the story of the guy that has never been able to walk, and the fear, or the guy that was being lowered down when they opened up the roof. I think about Moses. I think about Nathan. See, Nathan is my little Moses. He had the fear of speaking because he had a stuttering problem. Nathan is my Moses. He conquers those fears by coming up and doing and preaching and teaching. And he doesn't let that stop him doing what God has in store for him. Why? Because he is going destinations. He has cut the rope. And he's sailing and taking destinations wherever God is going to lead him. And Moses did the same thing. But sometimes fear can immobilize us. It can freeze us. It can do what it did to me for many, many years and say, no, I'm not taking the pastor job. I'm not coming up there to speak. He said, cut the rope. Let me show you. Let me show you what you can do. You take a Jamie Prine that can cut the rope and say, I surrender all of that alcohol and all that drugs. And Jamie Prine can keep missing. I'm not now. How many years are you at now, buddy? 3 years coming up. He's cutting the rope of all these things. And what is the things that's holding us back? It can immobilize us. It can freeze us up. It can make us do literally nothing. And God is saying, get up and pick up your mat and walk. Do we need to pick up our mat? We need to listen to the command and say, pick up your mat and walk. And then there's times that God is saying in our life that fear can make us do really foolish things and stay in a bad situation when it's time to get going. You know how many times Jesus was almost stoned and killed, and as the crowds began to get in, what did God do? God just got him out of there. The Father, he was able to find a way of escape until it was his time. Over and over, as well as the Apostle Paul. Fear can get you moving from things coming your way. Here's an example. See, I think the Apostle Paul and Jesus, they used wisdom when 100-mile-an-hour foul balls were at them. There's times in your life that you're going to need to use and have some spiritual gloves, and you're going to have to stand firm, and you're going to have to hold your feet fitted, as Ephesians talked to us, to be ready for any type of spiritual warfare that may take place, or in the world that things are going to happen in our life, or your circumstances in your world that you're in, and you're going to have the spiritual glove to be able to stand firm. And there's also going to be times that you're going to have to be willing to move and get out of the dugout of life to be safe. You can't keep staying in the same spot if it keeps happening over and over in your life. It's possible that the Lord is speaking to you about something. There's things that happen over and over that we give into. And it would be foolish to stay in the same spot over and over if we keep realizing that something is not going the way that it's supposed to be going. Use discernment. Ask for wisdom. Look at the Bible in different areas of your life and be able to understand that there's a purpose why God wrote and had inspired this information. The Apostle Paul, he knew what fear was all about. I mean, if we saw a portrait of his face and we saw his body and we saw his scars and we saw his tears, we saw these things, it would be a picture, a portrait of maybe what even Jesus Christ looked like. I mean, imagine what he went through. In verse 25 in 2 Corinthians 12, it says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night in the day I had been asleep in the deep. In the journeys often, in my perils of waters, in perils of robbers, and in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in the perils in, among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness. Often in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that just come up upon me daily. My deep concern for all the churches. You ever feel like that? That maybe your circumstance and your situation, you got the every single normal part of stress, but you got some of these big things that are coming up. Imagine what Paul had to go through and deals with. I'm amazed at what Paul had gone through, but I'll be honest with you, I'm amazed at what many of you go through each and every day. See, because the book of Acts is ongoing, isn't it? I'm amazed at some of you that have lost children, some of you that have lost homes and lost jobs and lost your health or lost some of your spouses or overcome and lost things in your personal life. I sadden by that, but I look at your faith and I realize what you have overcome. And I'll be honest, that inspires me more than just what Paul is talking about. Why? Because you're living out the book of life and you have a sermon to preach each and every day. What's your sermon? Well, you're living out your sermon each and every day. Your testimony, what Christ is writing on your boat right now to go places that you have never been. You are a testimony for so many people. And you need to understand, just like the first grader, you got to be willing to get on the boat. And you know what? That first grader taught my wife a very important lesson. And you know what? My wife taught me that lesson. And you know what? I'm teaching you this lesson. And I hope that you leave here today and say, you just need to jump on the boat and just see where it's taking you. What a first grade sermon. He didn't even know he did it. It's pretty amazing. I want to close with this. The fears in life will always come. Whether it's your health, money, or children, or parents, grades, getting jobs, ministry, consequences in life, job situations that you're going through, some tough personnel change, relationships, friendships, seeking forgiveness or being hurt, and possible persecution. Worry always makes a big shadow out of the little things. You ever notice that? That's not in the Bible, by the way. That's probably like a Chinese fortune cookie. Yeah. Worry always makes a big shadow out of the little things, unknown person wrote. But I love it. I love that. Because 90% of the things that we worry about never happened. Seriously, it's like having this belief that every time you go to bed and the lights go off, that there's a boogeyman sitting in the closet. You go and you turn on the light, you look in the closet, you shut the door, you open it back up, you look one more time, you're up in the air, you look in the shoes, you shut the door, you get back in your bed, you turn off the lights. You turn back on the lights, you look underneath the bed, you look one more time, even though you're scared to look under the bed because you don't know if it's going to grab you and pull you underneath the bed, and still nothing's there. That's what fear does to us. Fear is the craziest boogeyman that should not be worrying us. The Apostle Paul understood what peace was all about. I talked about it earlier, and as I close, literally one of the most famous people in the world. One of the richest, most powerful person in the world. Oprah Winfrey. I was like, I wonder what she fears. Of all the things that she fears, is the fear of balloons. That is her number one fear. Balloons. Not clowns. Balloons. Not hot air balloons getting in there and going, 2,000 feet up in the air and selling destinations. Balloons. The things that my kids will fight over. And the reason why she fears them so bad is because she knows that inevitably they're going to do what? And she can't stand it. And neither can we. So many things in our life, as beautiful as maybe a balloon will be and how much it means and brings happiness to kids, and no matter how many things in our life that brings happiness to us, inevitably, it's going to pop. And she cannot stand that. It's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of the timing. And for her, it's the fear of the sound. And many of us in our life, it's the unknown. And many of us in our life, it's the fear of the pop. The sound that we don't want to hear. It's the bad news that we don't want to hear. It's the sadness that we don't want to hear. It's the hopelessness that we don't want to hear. It's the rejections that we don't want to hear. The book of Acts helps us be able to face fears head on to never quit. The book of Acts, the living book of Acts, is to help encourage us to keep pressing on toward living for the eternal things. The book of Acts is the word of God that speaks truth, that tells us not to be silent, but to speak up. And to be able to share the greatest news in the world. Has Christ written on your boat? Has Christ told you to cut the rope and set sail and let me take you destinations? Or are we still sitting in the bondage and in the fears of the safe waters of the docks that's rusting? The greatest command that God gave is this. And he did this so unbelievable. Fear not. Guess how many times he said that? 365 times, one for every day you wake up. If God does not know what he's doing, if God is not all-powerful, if God is not trying to preach a sermon to us, it's 365 times to fear not for you every day you wake up so that you can be encouraged to have peace every single day that you get up and before you go to sleep. Man, does he not know what he's doing or what? That's pretty hands-on. God is telling us something. The verse of the week that Leslie shared as I close. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The word of God is speaking. What is he speaking to you about? We all have a sermon to preach. What's yours today? And go do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this book. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for allowing it to be the living word of God that changes lives. I pray that each person here today, Lord, will remember that they are a sermon, that they are a testimony for millions of people. And I pray that each day that we will never fear. We will never fear people. We will never fear anything. We will put only our reverence, our love, our worship, our awesomeness of this whole idea of you being awesome and our awe of you, the true meaning of this reverence of fear for you. For you are Almighty God. You are the righteous one. You are the righteous judge, and you are the one that is all amazing grace. I pray that, Father, that each one of us will wake up today, will pick up our mats, and will begin to walk places that we didn't even begin to even ever fathom. Father, will you change us today? Father, will you speak to us today? Father, will you allow us to listen today? May we be still and know that you are God. And if there's anyone here today that just needs to have time with you at the altar, I pray that they will find you today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.